Christmas can be a very special time, but it can also be a very stressful time. And given everything that has been going on this year, who knows what will unfold this holiday season? What if, for once, we just relaxed and gave ourselves permission to focus on what really matters? Welcome to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton. Just like my book of the same name, I hope the Calm Christmas Podcast inspires connection, belonging, self-care, nourishment and joy, and a little bit of festive magic. These are the days in between, the liminal space that hovers beyond the festivities and before the fresh new year. A time of long walks, hot coffees, languid lounging with leftover chocolates, adding birthday dates to the new diary, telephone catch-ups, old memories, new plans, making time, telling stories, everything on pause. Welcome to episode 11, Savouring the Hush, which is my name for this very special time between Christmas and New Year. Can you feel it? In this episode, I'm going to share some ideas for making the most of this time, a couple of reflection questions as we round out 2020, and some inspiring poetry to carry us into the new year. According to my friend Pierre Jane Bidgekirk, who lived a while in Paris, in French, Christmas is referred to as Noël. The old French word Noël is derived from the Latin word natalis, which means birth. After birth comes nurturing. Birth, beginning, nurture. Pierre shared that in her lovely book, The Everyday Alchemist's Festive Season Reimagined. And it feels like such a fresh way to look at things, even though the word itself has such old origins. Rather than seeing Christmas as the be-all and end-all, it's the birth, after which follows the beginning of something new, which needs gentle, careful nurturing. I don't know about you, but at this time of year, I feel like all the pressure is off. Like that pressure that's on us all the time, all year round, from work, from society, from everything, it's just taken down a notch. The expectation on you is a little bit less. You don't have to answer your email straight away. You can just open the door to your house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in your PJs and no one's going to notice. The postman's not going to bat an eyelid if the postman's coming round. He's probably not even going to show up because it's that time of year, right? I mean, everything really is on pause, but it's a different kind of pause from the slowing we experienced in lockdown this year. It's almost a magical, shimmering slowness where we can do pretty much whatever we like. Of course, some people do still have to work during this time, and if you're one of them, I hope this episode will still inspire you with your time off in between shifts or between those days at your laptop. The hush is a precious time. We face so much change in the course of an average year, in the wider world and in our own lives, and there has been nothing average about 2020. Against the backdrop of a global pandemic, we've endured a barrage of headlines, deadlines, political turmoil, social injustice, hirings and firings, career shifts, births, marriages, breakups and losses, house moves, business launches and collapses, fluctuating friendship dynamics, and the reality of climate change. It has been one thing after another, all coming at us with barely a moment to process any of it. If you're feeling it all right now, it's no wonder. It's crucial to give ourselves the time and space to wind down, switch off, and relax. January will be here before we know it, after all. So instead of rushing towards it, let's meander for a few days, giving our minds and hearts a chance to assimilate and process all that's happened over the past 12 months. This is a wonderful time to nurture your own energy, marvel at nature, and recharge. So ask yourself this: what would be the most nurturing way I could spend a day during the remainder of the hush or early in the new year? You might want a day in nature, a screen-free day, a creative day, a day to blitz your house or your finances or your social media feed following list. Whatever you think would serve you best right now. And in the coming weeks, try to carve out a day or an afternoon perhaps to do that. There are tons of ideas of how to spend this time in my book, Calm Christmas and Happy New Year, where you'll also find a step-by-step guide to planning for the year ahead. But for now, I'd like to share a couple of questions to prompt reflection. As we come to the end of a year, we'll surely never forget. First, some words from the book Freedom, Medicine Words for Your Brave Revolution by Jaya John. Reflect on your journey. Find the treasure in it. Appraise your soul as worthy. Live as such. By far the greatest impediment to a beautiful life is our own belief that we are not worthy of a beautiful life. May you sing a new song in your soul that drenches your bones and marrow with permission to heal, grow, shine, swoon, surrender, release, joy make, peace plunder, open wide, love big, dive deep, leap high, free fall through fate until you land in a living dream you wanted but never thought possible. Just maybe your life ahead is not wed to your life that's been. Just maybe something beautiful is coming. Maybe it's already here. Drop a tear. Pour that blessing water over your fear. What you see as a wall is an open window. All things are possible if you believe. Reappraise everything. You haven't seen anything yet. To your eyes, it may be wearing a disguise, but be assured, beautiful is already here. Take a moment today to ask yourself these questions. How would you sum up 2020 in 3 words? How did you grow in this extraordinary year? What particular synchronicities did you notice this year? Where did you bring light to the darkness for someone? And what unexpected blessings did 2020 bring you? If you want to dive deeper into 2020 to harness the lessons and make peace with the difficulties that faced you through this year before moving into 2021, then please help yourself to my Perfectly Imperfect 2021 planner, which you can get for free with any purchase of my book, Calm Christmas. Just go to bethkempton.com/Christmas for details and pop your receipt details there on the form and you'll get instant access to that planner along with a lovely visualization for winter. The planner is designed to be a companion to the book's step-by-step plans for bringing a dream to life in 2021. And it all starts with you taking the time to imagine. If you can carve out a bit of time, either for yourself or for you and a loved one, to reflect and look ahead and ask what you want to build next year, this is a really wonderful time to do that. Whether you do it on a long walk or you have a day of creativity and in journaling and you turn that into your vision for next year or whatever it is, it's really, really powerful. My husband and I have actually done this for about 10 years now and we come up with something, it's not really a plan, it's not like this is what we're going to do in January, this in February, but more like a gentle putting things out there into the universe, capturing ideas of things we want to build and create. And it's the beginnings of things that do end up becoming something. Looking back, I can say with clarity that so much of the goodness we've created and experienced has come about from those conversations we've had during the hush. So do give it a try. Now, we are just a couple of days away from New Year's Eve. Between now and the release of the final episode of this series on New Year's Day, we will, of course, have New Year's Eve. So I couldn't finish this episode without a few words on that. I wonder how you plan to spend New Year's Eve this year. Here are a few words from my book, Calm Christmas, about one particular New Year I remember really clearly. It's Millennium Eve in Tokyo. I'm hopping from bar to bar with a bunch of friends. We eat toshikoshi soba, over the year noodles, to mark the transition from one year to the next and express our gratitude for various good things in a series of toasts. We start off small, but by midnight we're toasting life, the universe and everything. we make our way to the beach at Enoshima and watch the year 2000 dawn in the land of the rising sun. The locals have built bonfires on the sand and some are dancing or swimming. There's a joyful relief in the air that we've made it into a new millennium and that we are here in this glorious place, looking out to sea, celebrating at the edge of everything. The beach begins to empty as the flames die down, and we follow the crowd for Hatsumode, the first shrine visit of the year. The queue spirals around the hillside and people are dozing where they stand. We drink warm, milky sake and phone home to wish Happy New Year to our families many time zones away. Then we catch the slow train home to sleep. For some, New Year's Eve is the highlight of the year. I've dressed up and gotten drunk and kissed strangers at midnight just like anyone else. And I'll never forget the year an old friend got married on a beach in Thailand, his bride arriving on an elephant. We sent Chinese lanterns into the sky and feasted until morning. These days, though, I have a different approach to the New Year gateway. I prefer to bid farewell to the old year with a simple ritual of candles and a few words. Then I rise early on January the 1st, stretch and offer a quiet blessing, with a sense of gratitude and a word of hope. Good morning, world. Happy New Year. Each to their own, of course. I'm sure you have your own way. But whichever way you do it, I hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve this year and bid farewell to the crazy year that has been 2020. I found some wonderful old ideas and superstitions about New Year's Eve in the book The Old Magic of Christmas by Linda Radish, and I thought I'd share a few with you, you know, just in case. Apparently, New Year's Eve is moving night for Icelandic elves, so keep the Christmas lights twinkling and leave offerings of food outside the house. And apparently midnight on New Year's Eve was the hour when a Finnish maiden might gaze into a candlelit mirror to see the image of her future husband wandering in the uncertain light. I'm not sure if he was lost or why he was wondering, but there's such a wonderful image. And apparently, floating a fresh ivy leaf in water inside a soup tureen on New Year's Eve is a good thing to do. Here's why. Well, first of all, here's how. Put the lid on. Don't disturb it until 12th night, January the 6th, and then take a look. And if the leaf remains green, you can look forward to a healthy year. If it's spotted, you can take comfort in the fact that reading ivy leaves is a notoriously unpredictable method of predicting the future. And a very important one, if you can make it happen, stroke a piglet tonight and you'll have good luck all next year. So that's it for this penultimate episode of the series. I'll be back on New Year's Day to talk about starting a New Year's revolution. No resolutions here, I promise. In the meantime, however you choose to welcome the new year, I think it's lovely to go to bed on New Year's Eve with a journal by your bed and try to write as soon as you wake, before you speak to anybody on the first day of the year. It's so interesting what flows out. You might write one sentence, you might write one thing you're going to hold precious for that year, or something that you're grateful for. Give it a try and see what emerges onto the page as the sun rises on a shiny new year. You've been listening to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton. For more inspiration and ideas, cozy up with a copy of my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year, a little book of festive joy. It's available now from all good bookshops, or listen to the audiobook read by me. Wishing you a calm Christmas and a happy New Year.